Bit. Sometimes I do fine, but sometimes in the mornings. So I remember, in fact, when I was out in New England this year, preacher, I was in Connecticut and staying with some friends and preaching in the church where they were at. And I get up one morning to come down to the living room kitchen area, and I couldn't hardly stand up. I kept on getting dizzy, you know. And my head started hurting, getting real foggy. And so I sat down, and little Joe out there has a blood pressure cuff. I put the blood pressure cuff on and checked my blood pressure, and it was 57 over 48. Wow. No wonder I was getting dizzy, amen. Now, what happened was I got dehydrated. And it takes some medication, and if I'm not careful, that's why I keep water, especially up here. And if my mouth gets real dry, then I get dehydrated. And I noticed that was happening this morning at home. So anyway, I drank water all day long. By that night, I was able to get up and preach without a problem, amen. There's something about water and water in the Word. Amen. So praise the Lord. The water in the Word will keep you going. Go with me to the book of Luke in chapter 16. I want to speak to you on the subject of hell this morning. I know I preached on this subject here a couple different times. In fact, I got a couple messages out of this text that are different than I have other messages I preach on hell. And about when the Lord was impressing on my heart with this last night, yesterday morning when I was thinking about what I was going to preach here today. And then the more on my way over here, I got to thinking about it also. And the more I thought, this is the message God would have me preach. I always bring a couple messages with me just in case God changes my mind. I've gotten in the pulpit before and turned to a text to preach a whole different message that I wasn't even planning on preaching. And didn't even have my notes with me, amen. Ever done that, preacher?
One of the best messages you ever
preached. It probably was, amen.
Yeah.
It probably was at the time, yeah.
But I've never done that.
Oh, yeah, I believe that, amen. Yep. Down to verse 19 with me of the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and down to verse 19. This is what we read. The Bible says, "There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." That means he had a meal and a half every day. I mean, he had whatever he wanted. I can just imagine what he would have. Amen. Maybe some roasted lamb and maybe a chunk of beef, maybe a chicken, maybe a turkey. But he ate well. He was not worried about his next meal. Anybody ever hear wonder about that, your next meal? I remember my wife and I were first married, and we had I was laid off work, and we didn't hardly have anything coming in. I was working a couple of jobs for $1 an hour, back when minimum wage is $3 an hour, you know, just to get some money to pay bills and to make some ends meet. So I'd buy a 50-pound bag of potatoes. I used to be able to get a 50-pound bag of seconds for $2 a bag for 50 pounds of potatoes. And then we'd buy a couple pounds of hamburger, and we'd make hamburger gravy. And we'd start out Monday, and we'd have hamburger gravy and mashed potatoes. And maybe on Tuesday, we'd have hamburger gravy and boiled potatoes. And then by the time Friday come, all we have is potatoes and no gravy, amen. So how many of you remember days like that, amen, when you were first married or when you were younger? And I grew up, my mom, we didn't have any. My dad died when I was two, and my mom used to iron clothes in our home to make ends meet. And she struggled and struggled and struggled, but there was always something on the table. But it wasn't always faring sumptuously, amen. But it was always what we needed, and I thank God for that in my life, for what He's done and how He met needs. But here, this man didn't have a problem. This man had money. This man was rich. The Bible says it says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores." That means Lazarus, and has somebody bring him in and lay him down at the gate of the every day at that rich man's house, that he might be fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table. That's what it says. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs from which fell from the rich man's table. That means it's not just crumbs on the table. That means there are crumbs on the floor. Amen. Fell from the rich man's table. That means they had to go somewhere. If they weren't on the table, where would they be? It fell from the table. They don't say it didn't fall onto the table. It says fell from the table. So here's scraps. Here's stuff that maybe this guy maybe would throw on the floor for the dog to eat. And then here's this poor man outside his gate just wanting something, just wanting a little bit, because this man fared sumptuously every day. So he knew there should be something left over for him to be able to gnaw on, you know. And then it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And a rich man also died and was buried. Now we see here, as we look, that they both died, both buried. And by the way, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he didn't know Jesus Christ. Lazarus went to heaven because, not because he was poor, but he went to heaven because he knew Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, and this is not the Lazarus in the Bible that was raised from the dead. Amen.
Right.
This is a total separate story. And by the way, you know that this is not some parable, because personal pronouns are used in this text.
Right.
And the personal pronoun speaks to the fact that there was a Lazarus. And we know there was an Abraham, amen, and there was a rich man. It does not give you the rich man's name, but it gives us the name of Lazarus. So we understand that Lazarus was a real man, a real story, a real truth about what happened. So Lazarus died and he went to heaven. The rich man died, and where? He went to eternal damnation, went to hell. So the Bible says in Luke, down to verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, speaking about the rich man being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He's down in hell, and he looks over, he sees Abraham, and he sees Lazarus in the Abraham's bosom. That would be that back then, that would have been what they would have called paradise. Amen?
Yeah.
Paradise. Not purgatory,
right,
but paradise. And before it was opened up. And so as we look here, we see that in hell there is mental realization.
Yeah.
It says, and he cried, verse 24, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We understand, number one, that there is mental realization. The man knew exactly where he was at. I've had an uncle that said, I don't believe in heaven, I don't believe in hell, and I believe that when you die, Mike, that you're just going to, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Guess what? When he died, he had a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Because he did not know Christ as a Savior, and when he died without Christ, he went immediately to eternal damnation.
Amen.
By the way, that's just like this rich man. A person dies, there's not a waiting period somewhere. He dies and he goes to hell if he does not know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You can't get around that. That's Bible. That's truth all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through the end of Revelation. That's truth in the Word of God. In the Scriptures, we see hell being preached. Jesus spoke about hell more than any other subject he spoke on in the New Testament was the subject of hell. That was what Jesus preached. Amen. And so we need to understand that. He preached hell. He preached repentance. Amen. He preached love. He preached forgiveness. He preached forgiveness for your sins. He preached about the blood. He preached, man, amen. He wants us to come to him that we might know him as our personal Savior. And then number two, look at the end of verse 24 with me again. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, I might have used this illustration here before, but over in Papua New Guinea, a friend of mine, Brother Flack, I was preaching one night, and I made this statement, I preached on this text, and I said, Abraham is in hell pleading or Lazarus, the rich man's in hell pleading for his life, pleading for forgiveness. And I said, here you have today, if you would take your microphone and you could lower a microphone into hell, this is what you would hear. Mercy! Mercy! Have mercy on me, oh God. And I want to tell you what, we saw 125 people come to Christ that night. Amen. In that meeting of about 1,400 people there. You talk about a movement, amen. But God did some work in that meeting that week. I thank the Lord for that. So in hell, there is physical consciousness and pain.
Yeah.
You will know where you are at.
Yeah.
You say, how's that going to work, Brother Mike? I don't know. You say, how can God take you, a body, in the grave and then put you in hell and make you feel pain and consciousness? Don't ask. He knows how he's going to do it. Amen. He says he will do it, and he will do it. Do you believe the Bible? I happen to just believe what the Word of God says.
Amen.
The Bible says it, so therefore what? It must be true. You can't, why? Because what do we see in Sunday school? God cannot what? Lie. He can't lie. So we have to understand the fact that in hell there is physical consciousness and there is pain. And then if you go with me, please, to the next verse or the next thought. In hell there is sightless terror, I got written down. But Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now let me stop there and go back to the book of Matthew with me just for a moment, the book of Matthew, and go to chapter 8 of the book of Matthew, chapter 8. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, and if I'm not careful, I will do that, and then you'll miss the whole point of what I want to say. Matthew chapter 8, and look down with me, if you would, please, out of Matthew chapter 8, go down to verse 12. The Bible talks about the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness as those who reject Jesus Christ, and there shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And remember, Jesus was talking to the centurion. He says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. But Jesus says, if you do not trust, you do not come to me, he says, listen, he says, you will be cast into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see in Scripture that there is a sightless terror. Weeping. How many of you have ever wept? Amen. How many of you have ever ground your teeth? Amen. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. The gnashing of teeth literally does not just mean grinding, but means biting about or biting at, going after. And I think as born-again believers, we have to understand that the Bible says that hell is so painful, there's so much terror, it is so scary that when a person is there, that he's going to be weeping, he's going to be begging for mercy, he's going to be gnashing his teeth, trying in pain, terrible pain. Look at Matthew 22 with me. Now we get into Matthew, come down around verse 22, and you understand he's speaking about the king, or speaking about the children of Israel. Many times, especially when you come to chapter 24 and 25, you come to the Olivet Discourse, but in the Matthew in chapter 22, we would read this, Matthew 22, down to verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind them hand and foot and take them away and cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, we see weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now look with me, if you would, to chapter 25 and down to verse 30, chapter 25. And down to verse 30, we read this in Scriptures. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a description of hell. That's a description of where God is casting those who do not believe him, those who have not trusted him, those who have not called upon him, those in Israel who have rejected him. And by the way, those who have never been saved that continue to reject him, one day you will suffer with that weeping and gnashing of teeth because of torment and pain that will come your way. So we see in Scriptures then that hell, in hell there's a mental realization, In hell, there is physical consciousness of pain. In hell, there is sightless terror. And then go to the book of Luke with me in chapter 13. Luke in chapter 13. We're in chapter 16. But go to Luke chapter 13 just for a moment. Over in Luke in chapter 13. Because as we read in the scriptures in hell, there is separation from God and from those that are saved. In hell, there's separation from God and from those that are saved. Look at chapter 13 down to verse 28. The Bible says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." He says, boy, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How? When you come to that point, and he said, when you see Abraham and Isaac, amen, in the kingdom, when you see these in the kingdom, he said, and you yourself cannot get in. Why? Why can't they get in? Because they did not believe what God said in his word. Why can't a person today get in? Why can't a person today get in? Because they do not believe what the word of God says about salvation. They reject Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. Amen. You want rest? You want to be saved? Come to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can forgive you for your sin. Look back to Luke chapter 16 with me. Luke chapter 16 again. In hell, there is separation from God and from those that are saved. The Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou receivest life in thy lifetime, receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So we see in hell that you're separated from those who are born again, those who are saved. You cannot be with them. He said, but boy, send somebody. Boy, I need just water on my tongue. I just need just a little bit on my tongue. Look what he says down in verse 28. He says, verse 27 says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What's he remembering? He's remembering his family. He's in eternal damnation. He says, boy, send someone to my father's house to speak to my brothers. I have been in many meetings where I've had people come to me during a meeting throughout the week and say, Brother Mike, I've got an uncle or an aunt, and they live over in yada, yada, yada here, and you know, I mean, not very far from where the church is, and would you go and visit with them for me? And so I've always make this statement to them, and don't take this the wrong way, but just hear me. I always make this statement. I said, have you been to talk to them?
Yeah.
And you know how many times I've heard, no, I have not. Would you go and visit my neighbor? Have you gone and visited your neighbor? No, I have not. You know, I've got this uncle in the hospital right now, and he's dying. Would you go and visit with him and talk to him about the Lord? Have you gone and visited with him and talked to him about the Lord? Amen. And I'm just simply saying that we want other people to do things that we won't do ourselves. Now, I don't mind going, but if you've gone, man, I'll be happy to go. And I'll go anyway, amen. But I'm saying the responsibility is yours. When I first got saved, I didn't go to the pastor and say, would you go and speak to my brother and my brother's wife? I went and spoke to my brother and my brother's wife, and he didn't understand. I had an old Jack Van Impe pamphlet, brother, back then in 1974. That talked about the rapture of the church and what was going to happen, you know. And I was talking to my brother about that. He said, where in the world did you read that? And I went down and got that pamphlet. Didn't. And I got my Bible, but I got that pamphlet, read that pamphlet to him. He said, I don't know. Got him to go to church the first Sunday. He went to church with me. He got saved. Amen. His wife got saved the next Sunday. His wife got saved. Amen. I didn't leave it up to somebody else to go visit with him. I led two stepsisters to the Lord. I didn't leave somebody else to go visit with them. I preached, and my step niece got saved while I was a preacher one time. And I didn't tell her not to come and go hear somebody else. Amen. I wanted them to get saved. I had nephews and nieces that got saved. I had two stepbrothers one was already saved. Led one of my stepbrothers to the Lord. Led some of his kids to the Lord. Amen. Led another stepbrother's kids to the Lord. Hey, you know, let's do our part. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Go see your neighbor. Go see the people. Hey, Brother Mike, I work with this guy. Would you talk to this guy for me? You know, he lives over here, and I think he's close to getting saved. What have you done? When have you talked to them? When have you shared the gospel with them? When have you given them track? When have you prayed for them? When have you wept over them? Amen. Well, I tell you what, my friend, this man was now concerned. But when you get to hell, concern means nothing. And when you get to heaven, who else is going to tell them? You won't believe the regrets I've had. Had a friend years ago that I hung around with, and we did some terrible things together. We really did. And I got saved, and he was kicked out of the state of Ohio. In fact, he was kicked out of a three-state area until a certain age, and he came back. When he came back, he was about 20 or 21. And I was working in a scrapyard, and he got a job at the same scrapyard. After I'd been there a few weeks, he came in, and he said, "Mike," he said, "can you give me a ride home after work tonight?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to do that, Frank." And so after work that night, I said, "But I got to go 15 miles to pick my wife up first, because we don't have a phone. First married, no phone, amen." My wife expected me home at certain times. So I'd go home at certain times, you know. And so I put him in the car and went down and got my wife and my baby, my oldest daughter, your mother, just a baby, still wearing diapers, you know. And what a picture that puts in your head, don't it? Your mom wearing diapers, you know. And so I went down to where my home, picked up my wife and my baby, and drove back 15 miles, and then another 12 or 15 miles up to where I had to drop him off. And I told him when I saw him at work today, he said, "How about after work, let's go get a beer?" I said, "No," I said, "I don't drink anymore." He says, "I got saved, you know, in prison." That's all I said. And then we took off riding, didn't ever say another word to him. You know, I told him how I got saved, but never told him he could get saved. Amen. Yeah. Never shared how he could get saved. Drove 15 miles. No, drove 15 miles. Drove 15 miles. Drove 15 miles. And so 45 miles, I got him in my car. Never asked him if he wanted to be saved. Never talked to him about how he can be saved or trust Christ. Never explained it to him. A few years later, I was in the ministry up in Michigan, and my mom sent me an article in the newspaper. And the article read this. It said, "Frank Vass, electrocuted, Texas." I can't remember what town in Texas, but he was running some high-powered equipment, and he hit some high-tension lines and killed himself on that vehicle that he was in. Died. Not knowing Christ. Now, a lady in the church where I was sharing at in Northeast Ohio, who knew him growing up, because that's where we came from, and knew me, she says, "Mike," she says, "I want you to know something. I saw Frank just maybe a few weeks before he died," and she says, "I gave him the gospel." Amen. And she says, maybe he got saved. I said, "Praise the Lord, sister, I hope so. But you have to understand, I neglected my responsibility in giving him the gospel." How many of us would admit this morning that we've neglected some responsibility in telling others about Jesus Christ? Amen? Be honest. I don't know about you, but boy, that plays on me. I mean, I've had that happen, I don't know how many times, dozen times at least, brother, over the years with people, and I've regretted it every time. Don't know if they're alive yet, don't know if they're dead, don't know what's going on. I just know that for him, he died and went into eternal damnation if he did not get saved before he went. And knowing Frank, I have a feeling he probably did not get saved before he went. So as we study the scriptures, as we look at the Word of God, we see that there's some things that's important for you and I. So now we see that in hell there's separation from God and from those that are saved. And in hell there is remembrance. Amen. He remembers his family, remembers those who are around him, remember those who need to be born again, remember those who he grew up with. Amen. He remembers them now, but it's too late. He can't do anything about it. So he calls upon Abraham. Look what he says with me, if you will, again. The Bible says, and beside this, between us in verse 26, beside, he said, listen, and beside all this, between us and you, Abraham speaking, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I don't care what any movie says. I don't care what any book says. There is no way out of eternal damnation, no way out of hell. The only way out of hell is before you go there, get saved, that you might experience heaven instead of hell. There's no escape. You can't climb out. You can't bargain your way out. You can't make a deal with the devil to get out. How many of you ever see movies like that sometime, or commercials that advertise a movie, you know, about this or about that or about this, amen? And it can't happen. It cannot happen. Why? Because God is God, and God is just, and God is justified, and God is a God of vengeance, amen? And God says, this is what's going to happen. If you reject me, there's eternal damnation, and there's no way out of that eternal damnation except before you go there, put your faith and trust in me that you might escape it. That's the only way you can escape eternal damnation, is by coming to Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ alone. Matthew 25:46 says, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. The righteous. So what's the righteous? Is that what you do? R-I-G-H-T is what righteous or righteousness means. Is that what you do? No, it's not what you do. It's you're righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way you can be righteous, because of the blood of Christ. The only one that can clean you up and make you right in his eyes is the blood of Christ. Jude verse 7. That's good. Find chapter 7 of Jude and let me know, would you? Jude verse 7 says, when even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. He says, suffering the vengeance of eternal, that means eternal damnation. And 1 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Even the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that they obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There's a place for those who reject God. That place is eternal damnation. That place is a place, my friend, it's everlasting destruction. If we believe in the everlasting life, amen. When we say everlasting life, what does that mean? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Then why is it so hard to believe that eternal damnation is forever and ever, when he says it's everlasting and forever, amen. And then there's people out there today who say, well, I believe there's a heaven, but I don't believe there's a hell. You heard that one, preacher? I've heard that. You won't have one. They don't want to believe in hell, but they don't. But, and they feel, because of what they're doing, that their goodness is what gets them into heaven. That's what they feel. Amen. Well, it ain't going to happen that way. It would never happen that way. And then look with me, if you will, for just a moment, verse 20. Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Over in the book of Matthew in chapter 25, and we read this down to verse, I think this is the right verse, down to verse 41. The Bible says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Listen, I want you to hear this. Hell was not prepared or created for you or me. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But because we do not receive Christ or reject him, we also will go there. But it was not created for you. It was not created for me. It was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil. The Bible says the devil and his angels, period. But because we reject Christ, that's where we will end up if we're not saved. That's the sad truth of it, amen. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Over Matthew in chapter 13, look at verse 42 with me. He says, in fact, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we see that these will be cast into eternal damnation. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and because of the rejection of God, that's why they go to hell. But it was not created for them. It was not created for you or me or them. It was created for the devil's angels. But because of rejection, that's where they will end up, because of rejection. If you're not careful, my friend, and don't know Christ as your Savior, that's where you will end up. Matthew 25:41 again. Then shall ye say unto them, unto the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jude, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness until the judgment of the great day. And then lastly, I want you to see hell. You don't have to go there. Isn't that great? And you don't have to go there. I remember first out of prison, I was in prison twice. And the first time I had some friends, in fact, I was just talking to one of my friends the other day on the phone out in Washington State. He's like me, he's falling apart now, amen. The guy was a wild man preacher. I mean, just he was something else, you know. In fact, he was wild his whole life, let alone when he became a preacher. But we were talking the other day, and I remember when I got out of prison the first time, him and another fellow by the name of John had just gotten saved in 1970. And we were all druggies, we were all drunks, we were all, you know, doing some terrible things. He always said, "Well, you were more wicked than I was, Brother Mike." I said, I don't care. You're still wicked, you ungodly idiot." Amen. and he was as much as I was. And he says, we were talking, reminiscing, and I said, in 1970, when I was in prison, him and John got saved, and they started going to a little Bible church in Northeast Ohio. And when I got out of prison, the first thing they did when they heard I was out, they came and visited with me and gave me the gospel. Amen. And I would not listen to them, did not want to listen to them, didn't want to be around them because their lifestyle now was convicting me, amen, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Well, they got me to go to that little Bible church with them one night to listen to some evangelist out of Cleveland, Ohio. I couldn't even tell you who he was. And this guy gets to preaching, and he's preaching on hell, you know. And at the end of the message, he gave the invitation, and he said, every head bowed and every eye closed. And so I just sat there and stared at him. And he starts going around the room. He says, you know, if you don't get saved, he points right at me. Now, he might have been pointing to somebody else. But he was pointing at me. He said, if you don't get saved, you are going to hell. And I just defied him. I just looked at him the whole time, got up and left the meeting that night, went on my way. Didn't really bother me. I knew when I died, that was where I was going to go. And I was going to meet all my friends there and have a beer, get comfortable, sit in my easy chair, watch TV. That ain't going to happen, amen? That's the thoughts that go through people's minds sometimes. I'll be all right. Had a guy one time tell me, he said, when I die, I'm just going to ride my Harley Davidson straight into the gates of hell. I said, no, you won't. I said, God's going to knock you off that Harley, and you're going to be drugged to hell by the demons of eternal damnation. Just like Lazarus was brought up to heaven with the angels, the demons are going to carry him into hell. Amen? Amen. Anyway, I didn't get saved. And then when I got to prison the second time, that's where I got saved by a man that was a Nazarene, gave me the gospel of Christ. He worked on me for 2 years. Other people praying for me, other people writing to me, other people giving me the gospel of Christ when I put my faith and trust in him in that cell. And I got out, and I was different. Now I understood what happened to John and what happened to Fred, what changed their lives, amen. It wasn't how good they could be. It wasn't what they did, but it was Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, he can do the same thing for you. You don't have to go to eternal damnation. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is what? But yeah, there I go. You ever get that? It's gone. He says, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. So this morning, you say, Brother Mike, I've been going to church my whole life. You say, Brother Mike, I've been baptized. Brother Mike, I said, I'm a prayer, so I'm okay. Can I tell you that? Listen to me. It's not the prayer that saves you. Amen. The prayer is the acknowledging of what God is doing in your heart when you come to him and ask him to forgive you for your sins. Yeah. Amen? Amen? I don't know where you're at. I hope you're saved. I hope you know him. And if you do, the Bible says in Jude 22 and 23, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Be compassionate to some. Amen. In fact, be compassionate to all. But then, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That means, brother, you know what that means? Preach it, brother.
Yeah.
Just preach. Preach the devil out, preach Christ in. Amen. Preach the liquor out, preach Christ in. Preach the drugs out, preach Christ in. Just preach, amen. And don't be afraid to preach hard. Don't be afraid to share with people that, you know, this is what the Bible says. This is what's right. This is why I don't do drugs. This is why I don't go drinking. This is why I don't live a wicked lifestyle. This is why I don't go whoring around. This is why I don't go. This is why I don't do. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because of Jesus Christ, and for no other reason but Christ alone. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. I want to ask two questions this morning before we go on. How many of you would be honest with you this morning? And you say, Brother Mike, I know Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved without a shadow of a doubt. I'm 100% sure that my sins have been forgiven. Could you pray for me? How about it right now? Anybody like that right now? Just put up your hand and say, I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm saved. I know I've been born again. I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Amen. You can put them down. Now, if you're not sure, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody this morning that maybe with an upraised hand saying, Mike, I'm not sure? I think I am, but I'm not sure. Anybody at all? And my prayer, if I pray for you, my prayer can't save you, and my prayer won't save you, but I'll pray for you that you listen to the Holy Spirit. Anybody like that at all? Second question is this, Brother Mike, would you pray for me? All right, see your hand. Would you pray for me, Brother Mike, this morning? That I might be involved in telling others, praying for them, weeping for them, amen, seeking God's face for them. Help me to be bold in my witness for Jesus Christ. How many of you stick up your hand right now and say, that's me? Amen. How many others? How about it? Come on. Let's be honest. Amen. Amen. All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me pray for you. And then I'm going to keep your heads bowed when I'm done and keep your eyes closed when I'm done. Father, thank you this morning for these that raised their hand, Father. I think, Lord, I saw one hand about not sure of salvation. God, I pray for this one, God, have your way and your will accomplished. Father, I pray that you be, that you, Father, I pray that you would have all the honor and all the glory. Remove me out of this message, Father, please. And help us to receive with gladness and joy what you had for us. And Father, so if this one needs to be saved, please, Lord, save that soul today. And Father, for those that raise their hand now and said, help me to be the witness I need to be, to do what I need to do, I ask God that you have your will and your way accomplished in their lives right now, Father. Speak, continue to speak to hearts that they might give over to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Lord spoke to your heart, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to slip out of your seat right now and come to the altar. Slip out of your seat and come to the altar. If you're not sure that you're, if you raised your hand about salvation, would you just look at me for a second? All right. Amen. If you raise your hand and not being sure, just look at me. Don't say anything. Just let me ask you a question. Just shake your head yes or no. You're not sure. Is that correct? You want to be sure? Yeah? Would you talk to somebody in just a minute? Can we show you? All right. God bless you. I'll pray. You can bow your head and close your eyes. Others, how about anybody else this morning? Lord spoke to your heart about being a witness for Jesus Christ. Let's do what he'd have us to do, be what he'd have us to be, to honor and glorify him. Thank you, Father, for these that came forward. Thank you for this one that acknowledged just maybe not being sure. Father, I know there's a lot of things that bring that about sometimes. Sometimes, Father, we're saved and we still have a question, and there's nothing wrong with that, Lord, and you know that, and I know that, Father, but help us to get it clarified and give you all the honor and the glory. And Father, that you might be magnified, lifted up on high today. Thank you for these that came to the altar now. Continue to speak to hearts, Lord, please. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed yet. Miss Jamie, can you grab your Bible? Rest of you can go back to your seat if you want to. We'll just wait a couple more minutes.
Every head, every eye closed. God's working here this morning. And if he's still working in your heart, let him. I got to thinking when he was talking about hell, I'm so thankful that although I didn't have the best relationship with my dad, at least I know he's in heaven's glory. And he's perfect today. He's pure. He's got a new body. Because I believe the book. I believe the Bible. And I'm thankful for it. If y'all want to look this way for just a second, we're all kind of dealing with some things. Miss Margie, I understand what you're dealing with. Well, then we'll talk in a few minutes then, okay? Well, I tell you what, this last month has been absolute hell, Brother Mike. You realize that, y'all? Daryl was one of the bright spots of my year. He is now. Now, I will tell you this. Daryl knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. He come to my, Grandma Margie, he come to my office. He said, I don't want anybody knowing about this, but can we talk? And for the next 2 hours, I just let him talk. We got done with it. I said, Daryl, if you used to die right now, would heaven be your home? Well, yes, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I left it there. He was dealing with a lot of problems and issues. So he was killed in a car accident last night.
Yeah, he was driving to his sister's house, and there's a bad curve in the road, and going around the curve, apparently he lost control, hit a tree, and died instantly.
The old convict got saved, Mike. He was. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, a preacher friend just a couple days before Christmas, over, he's 38 years old, over in
38.
Illinois, Illinois.
Morris, okay.
He is with his wife going to church, and there's a big patch of fog and some ice. The road's vehicle killed him when she lived.
She lived, but he died. Wow. Know that you know that you know. That's all I can say. Are y'all listening to me? Don't think you know. Know you know. You know, I told the funeral, and I'll say it again if you haven't heard me, the greatest thing. My dad did a couple good things, and I have to admit that. He taught me how to show up to work and how to work. He made us work on the farm, but he only did one great thing for me. Only one. He allowed us to get on that church bus to Paris Bible Church in 1975. He allowed us to hear the gospel. And he allowed me to know the truth. At 6 years old, the next day I turned six, I got, Lord save me, the day before. And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is my Savior. You can't tell me anything different. Now, I haven't lived my life like I should. And by the way, you won't either. So just put your masks and your fraudulent thoughts away, because you ain't. Only Jesus Christ can be perfect all the time, every day. Well, Miss Margie, God bless you. I need to know everything because I want to be there. Whatever funeral, I want to at least go to visitation or whatnot. Daryl made a big difference in my life this year. Father, you've been so kind and gracious to give us individuals in our life. Lord, I know, Lord, don't let him know this, but I even like and appreciate old Brother Mikey Patterson being in my life. Lord, thank you. Help Daryl's family. Touch Miss Margie, please. I miss him already. Lord, he was the one that showed up to help on this roof when nobody else would. And he just jumped up there and got it done. He didn't care. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray that his family would see how serious it needs to be about what the things of God. Comfort Miss Margie's heart and my heart and our heart. And Lord Jesus, we give you the glory and the praise for what we've heard this morning. Thank you for your preacher being here. And Lord God, may we see a soul the way you see a soul. That we might give him the gospel to hopefully keep him out of hellfire. Lord, help Mama. Would you help Mama this morning? Give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.